Good morning.
Good morning.
If you would turn to hymn books, page 806. 806. Sing verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
I like to stay here longer than man's allotted day, and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. What if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high? I'll live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I live in glory high and high. The end I know is nearing, by faith I look the way to yonder home supernal, the land of endless day. I'll cling to Him forever and look beyond the sky and live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing the story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory, high and high. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory, high and high. I'll tell and sing the story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory, high and high.
Before we go into guided prayer this morning, please turn to hymn books to page 635. 635. Sing 1 and 4. 1 and 4.
Tempted and tried, with heart made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Father alone did know all about it. Father alone did understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when He comes from His home in the sky, then we shall meet Him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will Dear old my brother, live in the sunshine, we'll understand it all by and by. Father, one old hill, no one about it. Father, one old hill, understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
Let us bow. O kind and merciful Father, we humble ourselves this morning, Lord, and thanking you for so many blessings of life from the beginning of time to this present moment. You've blessed us in so many ways. For in the beginning you created the heavens and the earth, and all the things that you created was good. And Father, we want to thank you so much for Christ Jesus, our Savior. We want to thank you, Father, that you found us worthy of his sacrifice. We want to thank you, Father, that you demonstrated how much you loved us by allowing your Son to die on the cross of Calvary while we all were sinners. We want to thank you, Father, for this first day of the week and for giving us the willpower and the desire to come here and knowing that this is where we should be, Father. Here one with another, and to sing songs unto you, and to make melody in our hearts. And to know, Father, that the time that we spend here this morning is time that is well invested. Father, we want to remember in all of the precious souls that was mentioned this morning that's on our prayer list, and we want to thank you, Father, to know that they have the assurance that no matter what they're facing, no matter what they're going through, that they can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives them the strength. And Father, we just want to thank you for the ears that we have on our heads that we can hear the wonderful message that Brother Norman has prepared, and we just want to thank you for giving him the desire to preach your word, and that we'll always have receptive hearts, Father, and always try to do your will and not our own. And as we enter into this worship service this morning, Father, we pray that all that we say, that we do, will find favor in thy sight. For it is in Jesus' name we give you praise, all the honor and the glory, and amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your hymnbooks to page 310. 310. Sing verses 1 and 4. 1 and 4.
Jesus, keep me near the lost. There's a precious
this time we've come to the portion of our worship service where we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. I wanted to just read a couple of scriptures here. This is coming from the book of 1 Corinthians, and I'll be reading from chapter 11 and starting at verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And so we've got those two emblems before us this morning. We've got the bread, which represents our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's body. And we've got the cup, or the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood, the blood which cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So at this time, we're going to offer thanks for the bread, and then we'll do so for the cup as well. So we should all try to clear our minds and reflect back to our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus at this time. Would you bow as we give thanks for the bread? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. We're so thankful, Father, for thy Son and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for his sacrifice on the cross at Calvary, Father, the offering up of his body and his blood. And at this time, Lord, as we partake of this bread, may we clear our minds, Father, and reflect back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we partake of this bread, Father, may we do so in a way that's most pleasing and acceptable unto thee. And we ask these things, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
All right, let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to rise from our beds this morning, to be able to gather together on this first day of the week, to come before you as we gather around the Lord's table, Heavenly Father. And we're thankful for the opportunity, Heavenly Father, to put our minds in the right place as we reflect and as we remember on that sacrifice that thy Son Jesus Christ made on our behalf, to become that perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish, Heavenly Father. We pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that as we are about to partake of this fruit of the vine, which represents thy Son's precious blood, that we do so in a way and manner that will be pleasing in thy sight, and that will honor and glorify thy name. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, mark your notebooks to page 890. That will be our song of encouragement. After marking that, please turn to page 796. 796. See, verses 1 and 3.
I'm gonna trade my earthly home for a better one, bright and fair. Christ left to prepare a mansion for his children in the air. I'll join him in that land where tears from sorrows can be found.
Thank you. scripture reading for this morning's sermon will be from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Again, that's going to be Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Good morning. Surely God has once again blessed us to be able to see another Lord's Day, to come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that mansion robe and crown. But in order to get that mansion robe and crown, you're going to have done what God has required for us to do on this earth. We have had to obey His word, become a member of the Lord's church, and live faithfully unto death. And then, when God calls us from labor to reward, if we've been found faithful, we can go on home and live with Him forever and ever. It's just good to see this audience. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for this time you've given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you for those who've taken part in our service thus far. And now, as we go into your word, that we focus upon your word, what it has to say to us in our situation. Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there be things we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's everlastingly too late. Guide me in your word, the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is still in control. Life is uncertain. And this ought to remind us of our need for God. Many people's minds are focused on November the 3rd, and many have and are losing sight of who is ultimately in control. He's in control of everything, including the election results. And as a result of losing sight, strife, hatred, violence has become a driving force. But God can use people. God can use these destructive forces to discipline us and to call us back to Him. You see, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 is still applies to us today. That if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. No matter who is elected by human vote, God is still in control. And so this morning I want to just give us four things that we need to learn from this lesson today, because I'm trying to help us stay focused and what our attitude should be as a child of God. The first thing that I suggest that I need you to learn is simply, God is still in control. As human beings, we like to think, we like to believe that we are in control of things that happens in our lives. But the fact is that there are many things that are beyond our control. You and I cannot control everything that happens. We can't count on everything. You see, what we should have discovered is that there are many things that we cannot count on, such as world peace, the value of a dollar, our health, and sometimes we cannot even count on those that we love. But there's one thing, better yet, there's one person that we can count on, and that is God. You and I can count on God. We can trust God to keep his word because God is in control. I'm reminded of Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations 3 in verse 22 through 25, he said, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." Not only should we remember that God is in control, not only that we can count on him, but yes, we can put our trust in him. Because in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. We need to seek his direction for our lives. For in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 13, Jeremiah said, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." But then Jesus even told his followers in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 and 34, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So the first lesson we need to learn is that God is in control. The second lesson that you and I need to learn is that Christians should not weary. Christians should not weary. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. He said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything." In the New Living Translation, he said, "Don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything." Somebody said, "You know, I never worry about anything. I just get concerned." Well, the problem with this explanation is that the word translated worry means something akin to concern. Now, let me help you. We should care. We should be concerned. If we have financial struggles, we don't have to worry about that, but we should be concerned. If our children are not well, we don't have to worry, but we should be concerned. As God's people, we are to be deeply concerned. But what makes worry worse than concern? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because worry is concern that is separated from the grace, the power, the love, and the wisdom of God. It's concern that we address in our own strength. is concern that we handle by thinking that we are facing life alone and that we have to deal with our problems alone without God's help. So the difference between worry and concern from a biblical perspective has to be framed in the context of how you face trouble. You see, it is the context of how you handle it and what you think about it that determines whether you are worried or concerned. You see, it's how you position God in relationship to your problem. Okay, y'all speak. Shut him out of the loop and you worry. Y'all with me? But if you mentally put God between you and your problems, you have concern, but the problem is not hopeless because God is your hope. When he says, be anxious or be careful for nothing, he is not telling us that we shouldn't be concerned. But he's telling us that there isn't anything in life for which to worry. Worry is wrong. Worry is wrong. Why? Because it shuts God out of the loop, as though everything must depend upon you to solve. Let me have the English word for worry means to strangle or choke. The Greek word for worry is divided or distracted. So the idea is that when we end up finding our thoughts pulling away from what we should be focused on, we begin to worry. If our mind is so focused on this election that that's all we think about day and night, it begins to choke us and distract us, and we lose sight of who is in control. We have taken God out of the loop. In other words, we lose sight on what we need to be doing, and that's seeking and saving the lost. We lose sight of comforting those who are going through struggles, through health issues, through losses of loved ones, and through losses of jobs. And so the question comes, if we are worried about the election, God knows, and we need to seek him. If we are worried about medical tests coming up or surgery that you must have, God knows, you must seek him. Are you worried about the safety of your children, your grandchildren, even yourself during this pandemic? God knows, and we need to seek him. We need to realize that God is in control. Because listen to me, no matter what issue we face or think is above God's notice or God's power, we simply are wrong. Because he knows our situations, and he asked us to seek him in faith in the midst of such trying circumstances and emotion. He wants us to realize it doesn't matter what goes on around us, he is still in control. We need to understand that. Every day that we wake up, we got to realize that God is in control. God can do whatever God is going to do. We got to trust him. And so what should our focus be? I'm glad you asked. Y'all asking a lot of questions this morning. What should our focus be? Well, the answer is in the latter half of the verse of Philippians chapter 4. Let's go back to the text. He said, now be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. See, listen, instead of worrying, we ought to turn our concerns over to God in prayer and thankfulness. Thank Him for being in control. We need to begin to pray, and we need to pray for all of those in authority, whether local, whether federal, whether national. Ask God to give them wisdom and discernment in making their decision. Pray for our first responder. Pray for the men and women of the armed forces, because they all need our prayer. And as we pray for them, pray that God will touch the hearts of those leaders who don't know Him and strengthen those who do. Pray for their souls. Pray for their families. Lift them up before God and ask God's blessing upon them. Pray that God heals our land. Pray for the Lord's church. Pray for the members, that they stay focused, that we love God, that we serve God, that we worship Him, that we love one another. Help us to trust all the time, especially when it's hard. And through this election, bring about your will for us, our country, and your kingdom, for the glory of Him. In Jesus' name, amen. That's what we need to be praying. We pray for everybody. We pray because God is in control, and God's will be done, whether you like it or not. We got to pray, y'all. And so the first lesson that you learn, that God's in control. The second lesson is Christians ought not weary. The third lesson is because why? Because Christians are citizens of heaven. In Philippians 3 and verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, our conversation means our life as citizens. We are but pilgrims on earth. And we got to understand, this world is not our home, but we're all just passing right on through. We are pilgrims on this earth. And as citizens, we are under the government of heaven. We enjoy the pleasures of heaven, and we are looking forward to one day going to heaven. I'm hoping that's what we're looking forward to, is to go into heaven. But in the meantime, as citizens on earth, we need to ask God to help us to be the best possible Christian citizens that we can be. We need to seek God's continuous grace upon our nation. And we need to trust Him with our present and with our future. We need to trust that God desires only what's best for us, and that He alone knows what's best for us, and that He alone can bring to pass what's best for us. So understand, God is in control. Understand, Christians should not weary. Understand that Christians are citizens of heaven. But understand and learn this lesson, that our real hope is in Jesus Christ. Our real hope is in Jesus Christ. And again, y'all, if we're worrying about an election, it's a sign we are trusting in the wrong thing. Our hope must not be in politicians and political parties. It must not be in money. It must not be in positions of influence. It must not be in family members or occupation or education. Each of these things have their place, but it's not their place to be our ultimate hope. You see, our hope is in Jesus. That's why Hebrews 6 and verse 19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. The songwriter was right when he said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And we all need to make the stand on Christ, the solid rock, our stand, because all other ground is sinking sand. Christ need to be our hope. And my prayer this morning is for all of us, that we can remember that God is in control today, and that he is still being in control after the election, and that he is in control for eternity. May he give us all that peace that goes beyond our comprehension. Throughout not only this election, but throughout our lives and in the years to come. Because God is indeed in control of this universe. He controls the events of history. We don't always understand what he's doing. We don't always understand why he's doing it. But we are always ought to trust him. We always ought to be faithful to him. We always ought to do the right thing anyway and believe that God will work it all out in the end. That's why Romans 8:28 is there, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. If you don't remember anything else today, you need to remember God is still in control. It doesn't matter how it looks. It doesn't matter. We don't know what the world is coming to, but whatever it's coming to, God is still in control. Our job is to trust him. Our job is to lean on him. Our job is to follow him, because we don't know which way to go. Jeremiah said in long ago, Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. Jeremiah 20:23. But it's in, because we can't even direct our own steps. Do you not know this morning? You didn't get up all by yourself. It wasn't an alarm clock that woke you up, but it was the touch of the master's strong hand. It was God who woke you up. It was God who allowed you to hear. It was God who allowed you to get up out of that bed, come to the house of worship, to worship him in spirit and in truth. And that means that he's still in control. He controls our every footstep. He controls the air that we breathe. If God decided today that I'm not going to give you another breath, there's nothing you can do about it. That's how powerful God is. And if God is that powerful, that's who you need to be leaning on. That's who you need to be serving. Because he is still in control. If you're here this morning, is God in control of your life? Are you worried about things? Turn it over to the one who can handle your problems. My problems, all at the same time. That's the God that we serve. You can't do it all by yourself. You can't handle it by yourself. God left us a plan in order for us to be saved. And that plan is simple. You've heard God's word. believe it to be true. Repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. And then you have to live faithfully unto death. Revelations 2 and 10, you receive a crown of life. If you're here, you're a Christian. Maybe you have forgotten about who is in control. Maybe it's so much coming in on you and on your life. Maybe you got one problem coming in here and another problem coming in there, another problem. It just seems like you're overwhelmed with problems. But I'm here to tell you, God is not going to give you more than you can bear. God is in control of your situation and in your circumstance. He knows what you need. And I'm here to tell you, he'll give you what you need when you need it, because he's an on-time God. He may not come when you want him, but thank God, he's always on time. Not your time, but he's always on time. Whenever you think it's too late, he's on time. God is always on time. I'm here to tell you, as you stand, sing a song. God is still in control.
Careless soul, how will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation, oh, prepare to me.
To face the judgment.